It is the best time of the week. It's Friday. It's 9 o'clock. We've got an hour left to our week, and we wrap it up by talking to Ian McNulty. Recently returned to the country from France, from Lyon, France, where we talked to him last week. Talk about eating and drinking. How you doing, Ian?
I'm glad to be home, Tommy. I really am. It was a marvelous trip, and it was great talking with you a week ago today. Hard to believe. It was a bit surreal being over there and talking to you and getting weather reports and traffic and everything. But that's the connection we've got here through food, my friend. But it really is nice to be back. I've been regaled ever since, the stories of everything that went down with the snowstorm. But, you know, here I land in balmy, somewhat tropical New Orleans in the middle of winter. And it will live in stories that I have missed, unfortunately. But I salute all of the veterans of the winter campaign of New Orleans that made it through in good spirits. And now it seems like it was all just snowball fights and cocktails by the clustered around the heating vents. But glad to be back, sir. Glad to be back with you today.
Oh, I was going to tell you it snowed while you were gone, but somebody already told you?
Yeah, no,
oh,
I told you
that. Man,
it looked like someone took an AI app and just slapped it over everyone's photos of New Orleans. Here's St. Charles Avenue. Here's Commander's Palace. Winter Wonderland. I mean, it was snow globe stuff. Very strange. And I was with a contingent of New Orleans people over there, and we all had the same feeling. So, you know, for whatever discomfort it was, that seemed like a historic moment. And those of us who missed it, from the comfort of perhaps more well-insulated dwellings overseas, we really did miss it. But I give you one piece of good news from that trip. Mm-hmm. When last we spoke, the answer was still up in the air. But the reason I was there was following Team New Orleans, a bunch of New Orleans chefs and people from New Orleans and Company, the tourism marketing agency, making the case that New Orleans should be sort of on the same level of global travel destinations for foodies as Lyon, France, and B, that it should get the qualifying rounds for the World Cup of Cuisine, this massive international competition of chefs that is holds its finals in Lyon, France, and that last year had the qualifying rounds, the semifinals in New Orleans, for the first time ever in North America, New Orleans hosted. And they confirmed, they got on stage and announced that New Orleans will do so again. So that will be not this coming spring, but next, 2026. So the countdown and preparation is on for that. And having been to the big show, the finals, it is a humongous deal amongst people who take civic national pride in their cuisine, food as a culinary art, food as a lifestyle, food as an expression of culture. All these things that we talk about in New Orleans that do resonate really taken to this global peak at these events. And I think it's a huge opportunity for New Orleans that that the road to these finals is going to lead through the Crescent City. And I think you're going to see more of a buildup to it and a lot more New Orleans and Louisiana stuff coming together around it to really make it a showcase and exhibition of really the food ecosystem that we have here, representing Louisiana, New Orleans, and even the United States, because this is a global thing. We're talking about the top people in the world who follow cuisine go through this. So major opportunity for New Orleans, and I have a deep dive on that on NOLA.com right now, a column about kind of my takeaways of being in a food capital, Lyon, France, and then, you know, what that means for what I consider the food capital of the United States, right here in New Orleans. And just, you know, one quick takeaway, it's not just about the number of restaurants, the number of awards or chef nominations you get. It's the way that cuisine is laced into the lifestyle and the way that people engage civically and the way that we present ourselves to the world. Cuisine as a calling card, our restaurants and our chefs and our hotels and our hospitality as this expression of this culture that we share. These are ideas that you and I talk about all the time on the show, Tommy. Mm-hmm. But to see it translated on a global scale in a different language, building international bridges, you just see how much more New Orleans can do and what a really unique and cool, exciting opportunity we have in New Orleans, because we have this culture and people from overseas, they see it and they realize that they recognize that it's different from anywhere else in the United States. And so there's a lot that we can build on here to make it a huge opportunity for the city and for its culture to be more of an international bridge for these things that give people joy and pride and encourage passion and excellence. Do I sound fired up? I am. It's not just all the foie gras and the fine French chocolate talking, Tommy. It's the whiff of opportunity on the future for our city, and it's exciting.
Amen. Tell me about your trip to Popeyes.
Yeah, so amidst all that, right? Food capital of France, for crying out loud, my friend. And amidst all the meals, I ate at a Michelin star restaurant. I ate at glorious, you know, walk-up food halls that will live in my memory forevermore. I ate at traditional restaurants. I ate street food. I did it up right. And I also went to a shopping mall, and in the food court, I found a Popeyes. I had to try it out. I had to see how Popeyes translates en français. You can get the full read on NOLA.com. You can go to my Instagram at me at McNulty NOLA. You can see a little video I made walking you through it. I'll give you the gist. Two misses and one surprise hit. The chicken, very different. I don't know if they're sourcing different birds. I suspect they are because mm-hmm. it's Europe. They have different standards for what goes down our gullets. Mm-hmm. But it was very lean. It was very dry. This is chicken that would get sent back in Louisiana. But here it is being called Louisiana chicken over there in France. There are the sides, no biscuits, no red beans, no dirty rice. Mm. They were not out. They just are not listed, not available. Instead, you can get a petite salade. I got the mac and cheese, which was about as appealing as the bamboo fork on which it was served. Mm. No good. No, sir. But the surprise hit, I mean, I ordered a bunch of things on the menu, Tommy. This was not like a, you know, nibble on the run. The fried chicken sandwich, supreme, with bacon and lettuce. It was the best fried chicken sandwich from a fast food restaurant I've ever had, even approaching the standards of a normal non-chain restaurant. Like, it was almost as good as a normal non-chain fried chicken sandwich. And that's saying a lot for a fast food fried mm-hmm. chicken sandwich. It was good chicken. The bacon was actually very good. The lettuce was good. These are just things that I don't think the French mind around food would consider skimping on, even at a fast food restaurant. And so for really the injustices done to that nine-piece spicy box of chicken that I had, I mean, take a look at the pictures. You tell me. And, you know, the trash-worthy mac and cheese fried chicken sandwich, pretty good. But really, it was just interesting to be there and see this thing that we know from Louisiana, how it's marketed and pitched overseas. And the big part of it is Louisiana, and very specifically New Orleans. You know, I'm in France. All the signage is in French. Mm-hmm. But they still have Love That Chicken and, you know, Louisiana and We Love NOLA and all this stuff on the marketing and the packaging. You know, it's worth noting. I mean, I think most people in the sound of my voice here on your bandwidth know Popeyes started here. It started mm-hmm. specifically in Araby by the late, great Al Copeland, 1971, I believe. It has, you know, long since left Louisiana behind. It's now part of a gigantic company that also owns Burger King, thousands of locations. They're expanding around the world. France is a new expansion. That's one of the reasons, you know, I decided to go to take a break from foie gras and baguettes and go down on some spicy chicken. But it was illuminating. I mean, it's like seeing your friend who's moved overseas and suddenly has this accent, you know, and dresses differently, and you know they're the same person somewhere deep down, but man, they've changed quite a bit.
Tell me about, somebody texted in here, two different numbers. I guess you got a story about this. Does New Orleans have a Michelin star restaurant? If not, why? Somebody else said, why are there no Michelin star restaurants in New Orleans? Two different numbers.
Yes. Okay, well, I brought up a Michelin star restaurant that I went to in Lyon, right? And that is a very good question. That's,
you know,
the
let me
answer.
Let me use a timeout here, one of my allotted timeouts, and ask you, for people that don't know, what exactly is a Michelin star? What does that mean? How many can you get?
Okay, if it sounds like a familiar name from the tire company, you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. It's a French tire company, and back in the day when, you know, motoring was young, the company wanted to promote people using its tires. And, you know, they, in France, they created a guide, a gastatory guide, a culinary guide, a restaurant guide, for, basically French businessmen motoring around France and places that would recommend they would recommend to eat as they were driving around on their Michelin tires. And this evolved into a whole subset of publications and rose into prominence as like the key guide to culinary excellence in France and then later more of Europe and then gradually around the world. And so the Michelin star has become this globally recognized brand of excellence. It's a three-star system. You can only get, you know, three is the absolute highest, and that's, I mean, the faintingly rare for restaurants to get three stars. I mean, this is like the creme de la creme of grand dining. That's how it started anyway. Now, it's changed quite a bit as it's grown and expanded around the world, and you've got street food stands in Bangkok and barbecue restaurants in Texas that have Michelin recognition of some sort of the other, maybe a star, maybe something in different categories. To get to New Orleans, Michelin now expands kind of market to market. It only started reviewing restaurants in the United States in 2005, starting in New York, no surprise. And it's added other markets, other cities since. And so it goes one market, one area at a time. And these days it asks for support from corporations, from sponsors, from tourism agencies, travel boards, what have you, municipalities, as it makes that expansion. It's no secret. There's been New York Times stories about this. That's part of their business model now. And so they have expanded quite a bit recently around the U.S. Atlanta has Michelin ratings. Florida, several cities there do. Texas was the latest just last fall. Restaurants in Austin, Dallas, Houston. But New Orleans, Louisiana, this whole Gulf Coast region, it just is not assessed yet because they haven't they haven't made the partnerships, they haven't made any deals to expand it here. That's the long and the short of it. I think there are a number of restaurants in New Orleans that are keenly awaiting the day that it arrives. I think some restaurants are actually prepping for the day that it arrives. But you know, it's one very important globally recognized standard for restaurants. But it's historically denoted, like I say, that grand dining, that white glove touch. But that's changed as it's expanded and grown to cover a lot more different types of restaurants. So
all right, let's take a break.
There you have it.
Pick it up. We come back, 504-260-1870. If you got any questions or comments about eating and drinking in New Orleans, Tommy Tucker back with Ian McNulty in a flash on WWL. 927, talking to Ian McNulty, our friend, about eating and drinking in New Orleans. Somebody wants to know about, does a restaurant know when Michelin comes in to review them? Do they or not? And somebody else wants to know, is this really all hype or is it real? About the Michelin review.
So the Michelin is famously secretive, anonymous. They dispatch reviewers that, you know, don't announce themselves. They don't come in with influencer reel cameras and, you know, hey, show me what you got. There was a time, Tommy, when I, my job, tried very hard to be anonymous, and it's extremely difficult in a small town. I may have maintained it for a matter of weeks or so, but I tried it for years. But Michelin, they really do. I mean, they send people from other places that aren't known in the market, and they take that calling very seriously, and it's a very prescribed criteria that they're looking for. Now, is it hype? Well, it depends what your tastes are and how they run. You know, it's. You know, one person's exquisite dining experience could be another's fancy pants kind of waste of money, you know. But the point is, if they maintain a certain standard that is what a Michelin star should be, then you are, and you agree with that sense of taste, then you could reasonably gamble your money on a very fine dining experience if a restaurant has this sort of recognition. You know, we talk about the James Beard Awards. You know, if a local chef or restaurant gets a James Beard Award, they immediately get more attention from locals and especially from travelers who are coming to town because it's a validation. Oh, this is our kind of place. You have to kind of agree with that taste and that value proposition, you know, but it's one measure of what that is. Still in all, there's no better recommendation in my view. Michelin star, James Beard, whatever Ian McNulty says, whatever Tommy Tucker thinks, than someone you know and trust who tells you what a great dining experience they had and why you would like it, which, you know, hopefully people here in New Orleans and Louisiana think the stuff that you and I tell them is pretty valid, too.
Well, you, not me. You're the gourmet, if you will. Somebody texted in and said, where do they get it? And I always, whenever anybody texts anything like this in, I look it up to make sure I don't say anything dirty on the radio, right? They want to know where they can get a bulgogi pizza, which apparently is Korean barbecue beef. Am I saying that right or not?
Yeah, sure. That's legit. There's a
because you know it's not above this audience to put one over on me, Ian. You know that.
Of course not. Yeah. No.
It's not above me to put one over on anybody, so I'm not blaming them. But go ahead, please.
I'm here with the naked truth, Tommy. You're speaking of Korean food. That's fine. Yeah. That's Korean barbecue, and there's a couple places. We talked about this not too long ago. Goji is a Korean restaurant. It used to be on Vets near Clearview in the Target over there. Now it's on Vets on the other side near Williams and Kenner. There's also one in the Hong Kong Market on the West Bank in Tarrytown. I believe that's called K-Town Barbecue and Tofu. Those would be two good places. And actually, just, you know, as it happens, my partner and I were over on the West Bank at Nine Roses last night, a Vietnamese restaurant that does something quite similar with the grill setting the table. And you can try to mispronounce it in Vietnamese as I do, or you can just point at the grill and say, we'd like the beef that you grill on the table, please. And out comes raw marinated beef, knobs of butter. You grill it on the table yourself using some tongs, and then you make your own rice paper wraps with all kinds of crunchy herbs and lettuce and vegetables and sauces, and delightful way. It's actually really good, refreshing kind of meal in warm weather, and really hits the spot in cold weather because you're basically cooking over a little campfire built on your table.
It's kind of neat, kind of like camping out and barbecuing all at the same time. Let's talk about what?
Oh, sorry, but while we're on the subject of Vietnamese food, real quick.
Tet, the big Tet festival. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't want the session to go by without mentioning that. But I have a story on NOLA.com right now with all the details, so you can get it there. But that starts tonight, and it is wonderful, Tommy. If you've never been, you should go. It's the Lunar New Year, and this is the Vietnamese iteration of it. It's at Mary Queen of Vietnam Church. That's way out there in Village de l'Est. If you've made a run for Dong Phong King Cake out into the east, you're just a couple blocks away from the church, and it's a big church, big fairgrounds around it, and it's this swirling, wonderful community festival. Kids running amok, lots of parents knocking back Heinekens, games of chance, crafts, and most of all, food. It's not your typical restaurant food. It's not food vendors from restaurants necessarily. There's a couple here and there, but most of the food comes from ministries within the church. And so it's home cooks doing traditional street food, home recipes, things they only break out for the holidays. It's a lot of fun. If you're new to Vietnamese food, it's a great overview. If you already love it like I do, it's a deep dive, and it's always fascinating. It's always fun to see that community come together. It's just a blast, and it's always circled on my calendar. So that starts tonight and runs through Sunday during the day, all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and it's free parking. Bring cash and bring an appetite. Bring some people and just share things around the table. It's really fun.
I got a couple of texts about Mexican food. One, I'm looking for a Mexican restaurant on the West Bank. They liked Cuco's when it was there. Somebody else says, ideas for Mexican restaurant in Metairie or River Ridge area for a birthday lunch.
All right, Mexican on the West Bank. Try there's Two Brothers Taqueria. It's kind of near the mall over there in the West Bank. A little more down home, a little more traditional. But if you're looking for that kind of like that big restaurant experience, El Patron over there is very good. That's on Lafayette, just past like Mellott Park, near Gretna Boulevard over there. It's good, and it's got that like that large omnibus Mexican menu, something for everyone, but also some real legit stuff tucked in here and there. And then repeat the second request for me. I got the River Ridge part. What were we looking for?
Lunch idea, Mexican restaurant, Metairie or River Ridge area.
two Mexican places. Okay. Yes, Metairie, Latia Cantina is your one. It's I can't say enough about this place. It's on West Esplanade, not far from the hospitals, near, what is that, Transcontinental, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's that octagonal building that I think was a bank at one point. It's been a lot of different restaurants. They do the standards really well, tacos, burritos. I love it because there's also these dishes that are more regional specialties, like a Mexican version of lamb shank, mm-hmm. like falling off the bone into this like a birria-like broth. Good raw seafood dishes, and the cocktails are first rate. If you're curious, you're not quite sure if McNulty's giving you the straight dope on this place, go sit at the bar, have one of the cocktails, and try one of the appetizers. Maybe the carnitas dumplings or something like this, something just a little different, and see if I'm not wrong. I mean, it's a beautiful setting too. It's local guys who have been working in the restaurants for a long time and created their own place. And it really has an authenticity, but also an accessibility to it. And I think it's just a winner. And by the way, they have a second restaurant that opened more recently on Oak Street next to the Maple Leaf Bar called Agua Santa, which is similar, maybe a notch more upscale, just a little bit more global. But again, great cocktail game and a really interesting read on Mexican flavors. The one in Metairie is called Latia Cantina, and that would definitely be the place to try.
This is an interesting text, and they say they have corporate people coming in for the Super Bowl, and they want to give them a nice sampling of king cakes from stem to stern. And what three would you suggest, or I would add, can you do it with just three?
No, I don't think the realm can be covered in three. I would think you'd want the big, fat, puffy, carnival time in New Orleans, kind of traditional icing everywhere, kind of king cake. You'd want something a little more, dare I say, demure, a little more artisanal.
So you're talking about like a Randazzo's is the first one you're talking
about?
Yeah,
Randazzo's for the first category, Haydel's, you know, something traditional, something with that soft, pillowy brioche. It's big, it's colorful, it's, you know, you can throw it in your backpack on your way between parades, that kind of thing. Then you want something a little more, with a little finer touch, maybe from Gracious Bakery with that nice Valrhona chocolate running through it. Like, oh, this is a little more refined version of it. And then I think you want something that's not traditional king cake at all. You know, something that shows kind of the creative twist running through things. I mean, I had a bagel king cake the other day from Bayou Bagel Company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They make a few different ways. The one I like the best was shockingly, I'm not a sweet bagel kind of guy, but it was a pecan honey cream cheese running through this bagel king cake. And Tommy, it was a bagel shaped like a king cake. I ran a piece through the toaster oven. You can find pictures of this on my Instagram.
So what was it? Was it a king cake or a bagel?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I suggest it, because you've got your traditional king cakes. You've got your king cakes that take it another step further, a little more refinement. And then you've got the king cakes that make you think, well, is it a king cake? But that's what I love about king cakes, because there's room in the carnival spectrum for all those things, just like there's room for Bacchus and also Barkus. There's room for, you know, the Rex and Chewbacchus and Croix de Vue, all different stripes coming from the same tradition. But to your person's, to the listener's question, if you wanted to do that, a couple good options. Just go to King Cake Hub in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. At Zony Mash Brewery, where they have lots of different king cakes in one place, or go to King Cake Drive Through, similar idea, open on the weekends, Friday through Sunday, I want to say. That's an old Metairie on Metairie Road. It's actually a drive through. So you pull on up and you see what the selection they have, like, you know, more than probably two dozen cakes. Those are real good options to gather a bunch of different king cakes together. And one more is Historic New Orleans Collection. If you happen to be downtown, or in the French Quarter, that's on Royal Street in the French Quarter, and their gift shop at the museum, Historic New Orleans Collection, has a smaller array of different cakes brought in from different places. I mean, you could get a Vietnamese king cake, Dung Phung, or a newer one, Dough Winners, over in Gretna. They do one that's shot through with Vietnamese iced coffee flavored cream cheese, which is fantastic. You could get one from Brennan's to show like what a classic New Orleans restaurant does with these things. You know, or you could just go for one of the old school, old fashioned ones. And but if you're going to have three on the table, I say, you know, don't make them all the same.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, wrap it up, Ian, please.
Yeah, you don't want to make them all the same style. You want to, you want three different slices on the plate that show different sides of the spectrum, because that's what carnival is. It's a spectrum of joy and pleasure and the party we throw for ourselves and invite the world to. And I'm excited for it, Tommy.
I'm excited about the hour we do every Friday with you. Sorry about the drive-by audio. Ian McNulty, you can follow him all over the place. Just Google Ian McNulty. We'll take a break, come back, get some weekend winners for you from JR, 940, 20 till 10, Traffic Now, WWL. Hi, 9:45, quarter till 10. JR has been killing it with the free picks he's been giving us. If you missed last week's, it was the over, the total for the Washington Eagles game. Not only was it a put your feet up and relax kind of win, the Eagles alone covered the total. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, Tommy. I really couldn't be more excited. We got the big game coming a week from this Sunday. And I got to tell you, man, we are just, I don't even know what the word to use in this case, because, I mean, it's not lightning in the bottle. It's been fire all year. It's college basketball's been insane. We are documented right now over 70%. You heard that right. I would not say that on air unless I had the documentation to back it up. Documented 70%+ in college basketball from day one till now. So, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to give you the winner of the big matchup a week from Sunday. We know we can't say the name, but Philadelphia versus Kansas City, guys. Mm-hmm. The game is yours absolutely free. All you got to do is call the number. It's on a recorded line right now at 888-9-WIN-NOW. That number again, 888-994-6669. When you dial it on a recorded line, the big winner, Kansas City taking on Philadelphia, guys, Eagles, Chiefs, absolutely free. Yours now. Call the number. I'm going to leave it up just for a couple of hours, so make the call. 888-994-6669. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to tell my guys leave it up through the weekend, because, Tommy, I was told by the rep down there that our segment is the number one listened to part of your podcast over the last 3 months.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a very profitable thing to listen to, and I got to thank you again for last week's pick.
Is that 17-6 or is that 18-5? Something like that. We're up there.
You're on fire, and it wasn't just a good pick. It was a fun, easy pick. Because, you know, I have my own superstitions, and I was able to watch the game after, like, the first, 18 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, something like that.
Do you realize on your show that I've given out, as winners, the three biggest overs of the year in the NFL? The three games, if you go look at the top scores of all of the games all year long, I gave you three overs that were all the top three scoring games of the entire season, all games combined.
Didn't realize that. Easy win. So look, I know it's way too early, right, to talk about totals on Super Bowl and everything like that, because you need to get all the information. That's what you do. Explain how your business works, if you would, JR.
Of course. First off, people don't realize. Let's talk about college basketball, right? College basketball lines are not put out the night before, okay? They're put out the day of, and they usually don't go out. We're talking about the top 25. They usually get put out sometime around noon, 9 a.m. to noon, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then hours later, it takes before we start to get some of the smaller games, the mid-majors, the game I'm going to be giving you free on air today, for instance. So, you know, it's not something that you can do unless you have a lot of time. So most people come home from work, they're exhausted, they put in 8, 10, 12-hour workday, they're grabbing their beer, they're putting their feet up on the couch. They don't have time to go spend 6 hours trying to dig through all the data and finding not only the data that matches up, but then to be able to do even deeper diving into the homework. I mean, we've got guys that are literally reading college newspapers. I mean, we look at every aspect, and there's no such thing as guarantees or 100%. We're real, okay? We're very realistic with our clientele. We're going to, you know, you're going to lose games. That's part of betting. You're betting sports. You're not going to win every game. Just like in the stock market, every stock you pick is not going to go up. But I can tell you this, because of the expertise, because of the experience, I've got over 300 years of experience under my roof here. I have over 30 years in the business. We understand things that the general public really will never grasp. So if you're serious about making money and you can apply a little bit of discipline, if you can listen to somebody else who understands it and knows it better than you, and you can follow that lead, well, you really can do yourself a whole lot of glory. You can make a lot of money, guys, a lot of money. I can't tell you the amount of stories I have of folks that started off with as little as $5,000 in their bankroll who are right now, and I'll send it to Tommy for proof, and he'll say, holy cow, $100,000 on the Philadelphia game this past weekend. Or how about $25,000 and $50,000 bets on college basketball every week? You know, these guys didn't start off betting $50,000. They started off small. Step one, let me give you the big game, okay? Kansas City, Philadelphia, point spread winner is free right now. Call the number. It's on a recorded line at 888-9-WIN-NOW, 888-994-6669. That's the number. If you really want to win the big game, guys, put yourself in the best position with an opinion that really understands the game. 888-994-6669.
The other thing, JR, I think that's notable is that it doesn't have to be, for it to be a good opportunity, a big game necessarily, right? It's all about the information.
Of course not.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. In fact, most of the games, and I tell all of my clients this as well, the playoff games, for instance, in the NFL, as well as the big game a week from Sunday, you're going to have higher risk. The big games will entail higher risk. But the payoff is much bigger, too, because you could bet a lot more money. Like, I could show you messages that clients are getting when they go to bet big on some of my games in college basketball. And that's mainly because college basketball doesn't have the same handle or amount of money, liquidity in the game that you get in an NFL playoff game. You know, the playoffs, I had guys betting six figures on both NFC and AFC championship game last week, which I went 4-0, by the way. I had both game sides and both totals, both favorites, both overs. And I could tell you right now that clients are willing to take on that risk because, A, we're playing with house money, right? They understand the risk going into it. And they also know that it took a lot of work to be able to build up the way that we did on some of these smaller games. Like, again, I'm going to give you a free pick on two teams that most guys don't even know exist. Okay. And I can tell you that I believe strongly that not only is it going to win, but we're going to stay consistent on the free picks like we always do, right into college basketball as good as they were in the NFL.
Don't give me a pick yet. I want to ask you one more question, and that is, by the way, I didn't bet six figures, but I went pretty big on that total on a Philadelphia Washington game. The other thing,
enough to get that lake house yet?
Close. We're getting close. We're putting a door on it now, and it will be done. When it comes to parlays, JR, word about parlays, please.
Well, first off, if you're doing what the sports book is actually marketing to you, you have to know that you're being had, right? So first things first, parlays are what we call exotic bets, and they're shots in the dark. They're like lottery tickets. Now, if you're taking a bunch of heavy favorites, like minus 250s, and you put four or five of them together, that's about your best chance at being able to hit a parlay if you're doing player props. I do not recommend them. I do not bet them for my clientele. I do like to have some fun with them sometimes, like we will for the big game, have some props that we're going to put out. But if you really are serious about wanting to win and make money, the sports books, they if you go look at the earnings of the two biggest books out there, I'm not going to mention them by name, but in October, a report was put out in over $80 billion that they took in. 85% of that money, 85% was parlays. Why else are they telling you, hey, look, you can put in a five-team parlay and pick up $100,000 for $5. Why are they doing that? They know you're going to lose. They know the vast majority of people are going to be dumping money and losing a little bit at a time. They don't like the big player that bets straight. They know that he can hurt them. The only losses they took, the biggest bets that they lost with, were all straight bets. Less than 5% of the public that bets straight wins, but that 5%, they win a lot of money. And you'll also notice, if you become a client of mine, when I give you a game on, let's say, a Saturday, like tomorrow, I'll give it to you at -2. By the time the game goes off, it'll be -4, -4.5. They know we're betting. And we have such a network of people, and we do so much winning, the books adapt to what we're doing.
Give me the free pick and take us out, JR, please.
You got it. First off, guys, this is going to be a college basketball game. We got St. Peter's on the road at Rider. Yeah, real exciting game. But it is tonight. Game goes off at 6 o'clock. Here's all I'm going to say on it. St. Peter's on the road, a much better team. They're 7-3 against the spread on the road. Ryder is 1-5 at home. They score about the same, but St. Peter's defense, much better. That's why they're laying a point and a half on the road. I'm not even going to tell you to bet them minus the point and a half. Get in St. Peter's on the money line. It's minus only 110 right now. So take St. Peter's on the money line. That's a winner for tonight. But, guys, the big game is here, okay, week from tomorrow. Lock it in early before the line changes. You get it for free on a recorded line right now. 888-9-WIN-NOW. 888-994-6669. You get the winner of the Chiefs-Eagles on the recorded line right now. Give us a call. 888-994-6669. Always a pleasure to be on with you. Tommy, be safe. Have fun. Everyone in New Orleans, go out there and let's make some money.
I'm going door shopping.